All right, who's excited for the word? Amen. I'm excited because the guy that's going to bring it forth is pretty awesome. So I know God has spoken a pretty awesome word. So I'm excited. Let's give it up. Let's give God praise for Pastor Dom. Amen.
What's up, everybody? How's everybody doing today? Good. Well, I'm excited. Okay, for that, you're probably wondering. Marlon put a cup up here, and that's because I have not been feeling that well for the last couple weeks, and I'm, like, getting over this cold, and so all of the mucus is starting to, like, get out of my body. So he's like, just spit it in the cup while you're preaching. I promise I will not do that. I promise you. That will not happen. But so that was just a little joke. He's up here, like, hawking loogies and stuff. Oh, man. I would get in so much trouble. Anyways. But today's a special Sunday, and I'm extremely happy and honored to be up here to be able to speak to you guys. But today is such a special Sunday in our Lorain campus. If you weren't able to be there, we really celebrated and appreciated Pastors Lewis and Tina Caton. They have been ministering through Church on the North Coast for 40 years. That is insane. 40 years of ministry. It's just an incredible blessing, an incredible heritage that is here at Church on the North Coast. And, I mean, they're just the best pastors, the best parents, the best grandparents. They're just incredible people. So, unfortunately, they will not be with us today because they're spending a lot of time with the people out in Lorain. They don't get to do that often anymore. But if you think about it, this week, shoot them an email or write on their Facebook or just tell them how much you appreciate them, how much you love them. I mean, without them, this wouldn't exist. Without them, we would not be here. And so we are a part of their legacy. So yeah, we can give it up for them one time. They are incredible people. And I'm just extremely honored to be here with you guys. I got a really exciting word for you. So let's get into it, shall we? Actually, before we do, just kidding. This weekend, this Saturday and Sunday, we are hosting a fall festival. So it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be in the Lorain campus, and it's going to be on Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4 and 12 to 4. Saturday and Sunday. It's on the announcement calendar back there. Grab one. But come out. We're going to have food, games, prizes, a bunch of fun stuff for the whole family to do. So it's going to be good. All right. Now let's get into the word. You ready? Yeah. Let's do it. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you so much for who you are in us and through us, Father God. And today I ask that your spirit of wisdom and revelation would just rest in this room, God. That we'll be able to know you in a different way, in a new way today, Father God. And that we'll leave this building equipped for the work that you have for us, Jesus. In your name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm really excited to preach this word. And it's kind of two things in one. A couple weeks ago, I really felt the Lord gave me a prophetic word for the region of Cleveland, Ohio, and just this whole area. And then as I was really looking into this prophetic word, the Lord just kind of dropped. You know when he just drops bombs on you and he just keeps going and keeps going? So that's kind of where this came from. It was just like backwards tracking, and I was just getting so much revelation through this one word, and I'm really excited to share it with you. And if you were in Lorain a few weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, I shared this in Lorain, but it's good to hear again. So here we go. If you have your Bible, if you can turn it on or flip it, if you have your phone or your actual real Bible, who has their like tangible Bible here? Anybody? Not that it like matters really. We got like three or four people. Yeah, it's just you have your phone and it's the same word, so it works. So turn on your phone or flip your Bible. And we're gonna go to Genesis 12 verses 1 through 5. It's Genesis 12 verses 1 through 5. And to give you some backstory, we're gonna be focusing on a man named Abram. Now, if I say the word Abram or the name Abram, a lot of us don't really know who that is. But if I say Abraham, everyone knows who that is. See, before Abraham was Abraham, he was Abram. God changed his name, and God really called him out and gave him an incredible journey, an incredible destiny. And so we're going to look at the journey that Abram took and the calling of God that was on his life. And I really believe that as we look at this, it's going to hold a lot of keys to help you along your journey through life. And so Genesis 12, verses 1 through 5, and it says this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, and move to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. And in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4 says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Verse 5 says, then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all of their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Now, this is such an incredible story, because if you could imagine being 75 years old and the Lord coming to you and say, all right, now we're going to begin this journey of life. Now we're going to start getting things rolling, Abram. So I want you to get rid of everything that you have, leave everything that's there, and move you and your family, and I want you to go to a place that you don't know of. And it sounds scary, but the reality is that the Lord has said that to each and every one of us today. That we each have our own story of how we met the Lord, or maybe you haven't yet to meet the Lord. But we each have that moment where we can say, man, I remember when the Lord called me out of this. We all have that this. I remember I was doing this, and I was addicted to this, and I was messed up with this, and the Lord brought me out of that. And we all have that testimony, the same testimony Abram has. And it's incredible, because when I first started my journey, I remember I experienced a lot of difficulty. Because the Lord called me out of a lot of different things, different addictions, things that I was struggling with. And I remember as I strived to follow the Lord, it seems like I'd always just get caught back up in those same things. Does anybody can relate to that? It seems like we so easily kind of go into this cycle where we're good for a few weeks or a few days or a few months, and then out of nowhere, the enemy hits you with this, and you're like, I thought I was over this. It's like, Jesus, I thought, like, you're in my heart for a reason, right? I shouldn't be doing this stuff anymore. And it seems like we're stuck in a cycle, and it keeps going, and then eventually, it just gets so frustrating, you want to quit. And I know many people that have quit. I know many people that have said, you know what? I'm done taking this journey. It doesn't work. This Jesus thing doesn't work. But the key that I learned in my life, and I hope that this helps you out, the key that I learned is that the Lord called you from something, but he didn't just call you from something. Your Christian life isn't meant to live this life and not sin. So the Lord just hasn't called you from the world, but he called you to something. You see, a lot of times we miss the fact that the Lord's not just taking us out of something, he's bringing us into something. And all of our focus, all of our mentality, in my life at least, is I would focus on, all right, God, you told me not to be this person. So I'm going to do everything in my power not to be this person. But the reality is, folks, is you are what you focus on. You are what has your attention. Think about in your life, what has your attention in this moment? What has your attention, your focus? That's what you're going to become. And the Lord began to say to me, Dominic, if you continue to focus on not sinning, you're going to sin every time. And you're going to be caught up in this washing machine cycle of doing good, doing bad, an emotional roller coaster with the Lord. And that's just not the way he wanted you to live. But as soon as I began to say, you know what? Okay, I'm not focusing on what I'm not. I need to start focusing on where God's taking me. Focus on what God's calling you to. Don't focus on what God's calling you from. You see, Abram had that right. He said, okay, God, look, I see that you're taking me from this place, but I'm excited for what you're going to do in the land of Canaan. And he began to move toward the promise of God. And that moment, church, in that moment, when I began to apply that to my life, and I began to say, okay, God, I'm not going to worry about not sinning. I'm going to worry about what you've called me to. And I began to just live a free life, free. Free from all of that stuff. And it sounds so weird because you think it should be difficult, but it's really not. It's so easy. Once you just begin to focus on the things that the Lord has for you. You know, I remember playing basketball in high school. Wasn't too long ago. And I was pretty good. I wasn't bad, you know. But I ended up getting a small scholarship to go to college and play basketball. And this was like my life's dream. I was like, that was just what I wanted to do forever. I wanted to play basketball in college. I finally get this opportunity, right? Graduated from high school in 2010, And I visited the school, was trying out, was doing some workouts with the team. And, you know, everybody was excited that this team was going to do good this year. Like, we were really pumped. And I remember I took a trip to Haiti that summer for about 5 days. And this is kind of funny. Okay, so my grandfather, Pastor Lewis, just to kind of let you guys know how awesome of a grandfather he is, he came to me and said, "Dominic, what do you want to do? For your graduation present, what do you want to do? I'll take you anywhere to do anything in the world." I'm like, "Are you serious?" He's like, "Yeah, what do you want to do? You want to go to Los Angeles and go to a Lakers game? Like, what do you want to do? Tell me." I'm like, that's a kind of a loaded question. I don't know, like, if I can do anything in the world, like, can I have 5 minutes to think? And I determined that I wanted to take me and my best friend, and I wanted to go on a cruise to Jamaica. I don't even know why I wanted to do that. For some reason, that's what I wanted to do. So I'm like, all right, this is what I want to do. And we were set. He was planning on taking us. And then my mom came to me and she said, "Dominic, look, I want to take you guys on a missions trip, but we can't afford to buy 30 plane tickets for the whole family to go. So if you want to go to Haiti, you have to use the trip that your grandfather promised you." I was like, "What? No, man, I'm not going to a third world country. Like, this is supposed to be my cruise. This is my present, Mom. Come on." I was so mad. I remember fighting her about it. But, you know, I went. And when I was down there, like, the Lord just messed me up bad, bad. To the point where I heard him say, "Dominic, I'm calling you from your dreams of playing basketball." And I remember that feeling as soon as I was down there. Like, you guys, if you're close enough with somebody, you know, you can know what they're thinking without them saying it. And when you, like, know, you're just like, "Oh, you don't even have to say it, Lord. I know. And I began to feel like the Lord, you know, "Dominic, you're not going to play basketball. I want you to come here to Haiti." And I remember just, like, I was so mad at that point. I was like, "Mom, that's not fair. I could be in Jamaica right now having fun, but now I have to give up my whole future." And I struggled with it for a little while because it was my dream. But once I realized that, you know, God's not calling me just from playing basketball, but he's calling me to a life of this, what I'm doing right now, of ministry, of pouring into people. I believe 100% that if I didn't give up that dream of playing basketball, I wouldn't be standing here in front of you today. I would not be ministering to your teenagers today. I would not be in this amazing ministry and just pouring in to it every day. I wouldn't be doing it because God altered my journey. Yeah, a lot of questions that people ask, and, you know, I have that in my life is, you know, and I'm sure Abram, if we look at the story, God tells him that once you leave, Abram, he's going to make you a great nation. And I'm sure Abram had this question: "God, why can't you just make me a great nation here with my family, with my father? Can't you give me my promises where I'm at?" You know, a lot of people, that you guys have promises from the Lord, but he can't give you those promises where you're at right now. You see, the Lord couldn't give Abram the promise of birthing a nation where he was at because there was not enough resources there to allow a nation, two nations to thrive. Where Abram was at in that moment couldn't hold his promise. See, a lot of you are stuck where you're at and you're saying, "God, just give me my promise." And the Lord's saying, "Look, no, I have to take you to your promise because your promise can't live there. Your promise can't live where you're at right now." And that's the importance of the journey. Now, Abram was 75 years old when he was called. 75 years old. Side note, at this point, Abram had no children. No children, and the promise was to be made a great nation. That's kind of crazy, and you're 75 years old. So let's check out what happened to Abram. If you turn to Genesis 16, we'll catch up with my man Abram. Genesis 16, verses 1 through 4. And Abram and Sarai, we catch up with them in this story. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I may obtain a child by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. He didn't really put up much of a fight there. That's kind of disappointing, Abram. He's like, okay, sure. Verse 3 says, then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. Let me just finish this. Verse 4, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Important side note, Abram was in the land of Canaan for 10 years. 10 years, just sitting there. Just sitting there. See, a lot of you are just sitting on your promise. You're just sitting there, waiting for God to bring it to fruition. You know, a lot of times when we read the Bible, it's important to know that, you know, you flip a page and you can kind of go through the life of an individual, but you don't realize that in between that page is 10 years of life, of 25, 30 years of life. And it's difficult for us to comprehend because we live in a microwave society. We live in a society where if Wendy's doesn't serve me my food fast enough, I'm talking to the manager. We live in a society of, I want to get what I want now. We're not used to waiting for things. We're not used to it. But the kingdom's different. And a lot of times, you have to go through the process. You have to go through the journey. And Abram was sitting on his promise for 10 years. Nothing happened. Now, I want to point something out because I believe that this is where a lot of Christians fail, right here. The enemy will always offer you a quicker way to your promise. The enemy will always offer you a faster way to get to the end result. He'll say, you know what? You don't have to wait that long. You don't have to go through all this pain, all this suffering. I can give you what you need right here. Just go into my maidservant and have a child. Boom, you're good. The enemy will always offer you a quicker route. Let's take a look at Matthew 4, verses 8 through 10. Do you have those on the screen, Nathan? Matthew 4, verses 8 through 10, and we see Jesus being tempted. This is after Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, and we see the enemy tempting Jesus. And he says, again, the devil took him, Jesus, up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all of these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. It's crazy because the reality is the devil had the authority to give Jesus everything. If you look at why Jesus came to this earth, he came to reconcile man to God. And the enemy was willing to say, you know what, Jesus? You don't have to die on the cross. You don't have to live on this earth and go through all of the torture, all of the pain. I'll give it to you. I'll give you everything. The enemy had every right to give Jesus the world. Because at that point, earth belonged to the devil. So this isn't an empty promise. This isn't an empty threat. This is legit. And Jesus had to sit there and say, I don't have to die on the cross. I don't have to get tortured. I don't have to get rejected by humanity. I can fulfill this right here. I can get my promise right here. And what did he say? He said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. See, the enemy has alternate plans for your life, but the Lord has already written your book. And no matter how difficult it is, no matter how long you have to wait, no matter how the torture that you have to go through, the pain, the hurt, we need a people. And this generation needs people that says, you know what? The Lord has my plan, devil. I'm okay. I'm good. The Lord has my plan. No matter how long this is going to take, if this takes 30 years, I'm going to sit and wait for the Lord to bring it to fruition because I know that the enemy only has death in mind for me. We need a generation of Christians that are willing to be patient and go on the journey. To just go on the journey and not be so consumed with this microwave society where we say, you know what, Lord? Well, if this isn't happening now, then you're probably just not calling me to do it. I don't see this happening, Lord. So, you know, I doubt that you're calling me to birth a nation, God. I don't have any children. Be patient. Sit on the promise. Wait. Wait on the promise. Abraham at this point was 85 years old. The Bible tells us that he had been in the land of Canaan for 10 years. So he is now 85 years old, waiting on a promise. It's crazy how much happens, how much life happens in two chapters. If you turn over to Genesis 17, verses 1 through 7, we catch up with Abraham when he was 99 years old. 99 years old. 25 years later. 25 years from the day that the Lord said, Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation. 25 years goes by. Nothing. 25 years of a promise from the Lord. Empty. See, I really believe that there's some of you sitting on a promise, 25 years old. I believe that some of you are sitting on a word from the Lord that's 10, 15 years old. And some of you have given up on that promise. Some of you have just swept it under the rug and said, you know what, it hasn't happened by now. But I want to encourage you today to dig those promises back out. Dig those promises back out. And this is for those of you that just feel like you're just stuck. Just, what do I do next? I'm just waiting on the Lord. What do I do next? Abram has something incredible happen in his life, and I believe that the Lord is doing this here today as well. But in Genesis 17, verses 1 through 7, it says that Abram was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him and said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me, be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Man, that's crazy, because God reminded Abram, look, my covenant is with you. It always was. It always was with you, Abram. See, a lot of times we go through this journey and we forget that we have responsibility. We forget that we're not just waiting for God to drag us through life, but we have responsibility to care. We have a responsibility in our part of this journey. And the Lord's saying to Abram, look, my covenant's here. My covenant's here with you, Abram. Let's do this. So no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and the kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. And then verse 21 says, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. So we see the Lord come and change Abram's name. Now, the name Abram meant father. That's what it means in the Hebrew. It means father. And the Lord said, okay, let me change your name from father to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And what the Lord did there was so profound, and I want each of you to pick this up because I believe it could just cause breakthrough in your life. The Lord forced Abram to speak his promise over himself every day. See, many of you are sitting on your promise and you're saying, oh, this probably isn't going to happen. I don't really think that the Lord can do this, blah, blah, blah. And we're speaking death over it. But the Lord said, you know what, Abram? Next time your wife calls you for dinner, I'm going to force her to call you the father of many nations. The Lord put Abraham in the position where people, everyone in his life, had to speak life over his promise, had to speak the word of the Lord over Abraham, that he had no choice. And as people began to speak the word of the Lord over Abraham, it happened like that. You see, you and I have responsibility when it comes to this journey in life. You and I have responsibility. Our responsibility is to speak the word of the Lord over your own situation. Speak the word of the Lord over your kids, over your business, over your job, over your calling and your destiny. Speak it. Speak life over it. The Lord forced Abraham to do this, and within 3 months, they had conceived a child. Within 3 months, they conceived. The Bible tells us that a year later, that they had a child named Isaac. So simple math says 9 minus 12, 3. Cool. 25 years of the Lord saying, this is what I want to do with you. This is what I want to do with you. This is what I want to do with you. This is what I want to do with you. And you're sitting there saying, Lord, what in the world? Do it. Do it then. 25 years. 3 months of you saying, this is what the Lord's going to do with me. This is what the Lord's going to do with me. This is what the Lord's going to do with me. Bang. See, it's a missing key that many of us don't understand that. That's your responsibility. The Lord may have promises in your life. The Lord may be telling you things and speaking things over your life. But the Lord's not just dragging you through life. You're not on the leash and he's just pulling you through life. You're walking hand in hand and the Lord's saying, okay, I've contributed. He said, my covenant's with you. Abram, my covenant's here. And Abram simply had to start declaring who he was. And the Lord was saying, that's it, I can do it. You're on board, that's it, I can do it now. Within 3 months. Now I believe that many of you sitting in here are sitting on promises that may be just as long as 25 years. Maybe some that are longer. But I encourage you, what are you saying over your promise? Have you given up on it? Have you given up on it? Are you speaking death over it? What are you speaking over your promise? Begin to speak life over your promise. And I guarantee, just Pastor Troy has been preaching about these promises that are just going to be able to begin to avalanche. And I feel the Holy Spirit on that so strongly. We need to get in sync with that and begin to speak life over those situations and over those things. For 25 years, God spoke this promise over Abraham. But when Abraham spoke the promise, within 3 months, it's incredible. Now, I want to talk a little bit about just a prophetic word that I really feel like the Lord gave me. You know, for as long as I can remember, I grew up obviously in church with my grandparents, and as long as I can remember, I constantly would hear men and women that would come in and speak and just travel, and even people that are here just declare things over the city of Cleveland. And they begin to say stuff like, man, Cleveland's going to experience revival. And the Lord is going to start a movement here that sweeps the nation. I'd hear these type of words all the time. I mean, from people that weren't even here, that don't even live here, from around the world, they'd come in and say, man, the Lord's going to do something special here. And it got to the point where I'm just like, okay, like, all right. I like, yeah, sure, I got it, cool. Like, same as the last guy, what the last guy said. You're like, you guys, did you call each other before you came here? Like, you know, and I'm sure some of you in here kind of know what I'm talking about. You've sat under that prophetic spirit, and you know, you've heard the words too. But for how long has Cleveland been known as the mistake by the lake? See, when people think of Cleveland, they think of a city of really good losers. They think of an accident, a mistake. They think of like a burning lake. River. It's a part of the lake. But they don't think of revival. They don't think of God. And you know what's incredible, church? Not too long ago, and you might think I'm cheesy for this, but the Cleveland Cavaliers have changed the way the world looks at this city. The Lord has changed the name. Now when people think of Cleveland, they think of a city of champions. And the Lord has forced us to identify with champions. See, it's not enough that you just say words over your situation. You have to begin to identify with those words. See, for so long, we've identified with losing. We've identified with being last place. We've identified with being a mistake. We've been okay with that. Okay, God, we're good with just being less than mediocre at things. But not anymore. We have a city that has gotten behind a sport and identified with championship. And you can tell me, well, that's a coincidence, Dominic. We do have the best player in the world on our team. Yeah, you're right. But explain to me how the Cleveland Indians are about to win the World Series. Listen, this goes beyond sport, y'all. This is the Lord speaking and saying, look, this city is a city of champions. And as soon as you and I begin to speak life over it, I believe that those prophecies that I sat under when I was 5 years old, I'll see happen like that. Because the world no longer looks at us as losers, but they look at us as champions. And not only do we speak that, we identify with it. We walk as champions now. And I believe with all of my heart that just as Pastor Troy has been speaking about this avalanche of promises being fulfilled, that we won't be able to keep up with it. I believe that that's going to happen in the next few months here. If we can really begin to speak out who we are over our promises, if we can begin to speak out who we've identified with and speak life over those ancient promises, I believe that this city is going to experience revival. I believe that this city is going to experience a move of God. Not because a sport team has won, but because a mentality of a people has begun to agree with what the Lord is saying. And the Lord has convinced us through sport that we're not losers, that we are champions. And I want to end with this. As we prepare for this move of God, I really, really felt the Lord wanted me to really redefine what revival is. You know, we hear that word tossed around a lot. And, you know, when I think of revival, I think of, you know, packed out sanctuary where there's a guest speaker and they're there every night. And, like, cool things happen, like miracles and stuff. And people get gold teeth, which that's crazy. I was at CF&I and this guy, like, this is wild. I don't know if you guys believe in this stuff, but I didn't. And then this happened and I do. So, but a cool story. This is really cool. This doesn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about. But this guy was praying for, like, people with bad backs, like crooked backs and stuff. And at CF&I, I was kind of like one of the ushers. Like, I would kind of do anything that the speaker needs. So I'm, like, you know, getting ready to catch people as they fall over. And as I'm standing behind this older lady, and he's praying for her back. Wildest thing. She literally grows, like, 2 or 3 inches and then falls out. Like, their back straighten up, they get taller, and then they fall out. And it happened like three or four times. And I was like, oh my goodness. It was wild. But anyways, it was really cool. But there was this one guy in particular that came to CF&I. And we, you know, our job is to, you know, carry the Bibles out, get the waters, like all that stuff. So we did that. And I remember, like, taking this guy's Bible and his books up there, the pulpit, sat him down. And then, like, as we're preaching, he just began to, like, sparkle all over the place. It's kind of weird. But apparently, like, there's just, like, gold dust that came out of his Bible. And I'm looking to see if there's any. No, there's none in mine. But do you remember that, Emily? I don't know if you were there. That was before me and Emily. We weren't a thing yet. But anyways, so I remember, like, taking his Bible after, and, like, you literally could shake it, and there was just a pile of gold dust. And I'm like, okay, that wasn't there before. It was just, like, crazy, really cool manifestations of God. I don't believe that's revival. We labeled that revival. We say, oh my goodness, there's gold dust falling from the sky. You must be experiencing revival. Or, oh my goodness, there's feathers and clouds and this revival. It's not revival. Those are just really cool manifestations of the Lord, and that's not a bad thing. But our definition of revival has to switch to saying, you know what? Revival doesn't look like a packed out sanctuary. Revival looks like loving people that aren't really easy to love. Revival looks like, man, let me sit down in this muddy, dirty alley with you and just love you. Just love you. Not try to convince you not to shoot up heroin, but let me just love you. Let me just be there for you. Revival looks like just unconditional love and getting dirty. Revival looks like getting dirty for people. Because you know what? The Lord got dirty for you. No one was perfect when the Lord came and brought us out of our mess. We were dirty. But then we expect people to clean up and come to our gold dust services so we can experience revival together. Let me come to where you're at and let me begin to sit and just be with you and love on you. And you know, I hear a lot of opposition about this because people say, you know what, I can't go to dark places. I'm going to get darkness on me. I'm going to get all dark. Like that, I honestly hear that a lot. And I don't mean to make fun of it, but it's so silly because, like, if you think that the power of Jesus that is in your life is so weak that if you walk into a bar or something like that, that you can get infected with demons, then I don't want to serve that Jesus. If you think that there's anything on this earth that can overcome the light that is inside of you, I don't want your light anyways. And that's how the world's looking at it. The world's saying is, if you're not willing to come to me because I'm dirty, I don't want to be clean like you are. Because the book of John says that the light came into this earth and it was not able to overcome it. Darkness was not able to overcome the light. And so I'm encouraging you today that don't get freaked out by people, by places. Go. Just go. Love people. I promise you're not going to catch a demon. You're not. Because the darkness cannot comprehend the light. It can't overtake it. It's impossible for it to happen. And so what that means is that you, each and every one of us, have the power, the authority, the ability to walk anywhere in this world and then bring the light of Jesus right there. And that's what revival is going to look like. When you and I begin to say, you know what, I'm not scared anymore. I'm going to go in and sit with the unlovable people and just love them. That's what revival looks like. And that's what I believe, that if we can couple that with speaking life over this city, that we can really see a move of God, something special. So why don't you stand with me, church? You know, Abram was called out from and called to his promise. And he spent almost 25 years with no promise, with seeing a promise that was not fulfilled. And at 100 years old, he saw his promise fulfilled in Isaac. It's so insane. So I'm sorry if I've disappointed you by saying you might have to wait that long. But might as well be prepared. I don't think it's going to take that long. I don't think it's going to take that long. I think that you and I are going to be able to speak this life over our situations. We're going to be able to see these promises fulfilled. Boom, 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 boom. So Jesus, I just ask right now, God, that you would fill this place, fill these people. Give us the strength and the courage, God, to partner with you in our journey. Speak life over our promises and see this city changed, God. You know, I was reading 1 Corinthians today, and Paul said that, look, I didn't come to you in eloquence of speech. He said, I didn't come to you talking very well and trying to convince you to love Jesus because I didn't want the power of the cross to be of no effect. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Dominic, a lot of people are waiting to use their gifts because they believe that the perfection of their gift allows Christ to be manifested in the world. But I'm here to tell you that that's not the case. The obedience of your heart manifests Christ. So maybe you might say, you know what, I know that the Lord's calling me to do this, but I'm not that good at it. I know that the Lord's calling me to be this person, but I don't know how to do that. I don't know how. I don't understand. Lord, teach me. And you're waiting to be taught, you're waiting to practice, and then you're like, okay, Lord, once I'm there, I'll do it. That's not how Christ has manifested this earth. Christ is made real to those around us when we are obedient to the callings in our heart. And so I want to release you today to do those things that are on your heart, to start, to begin, to organize these different movements of the Lord. Do them. You don't have to wait to be qualified. You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to do all these things because the perfection of your gift isn't where Christ is made known. It's the obedience of your heart. And so, Father, I just thank you so much for these men and women in this room, God. I ask that you would continue to give us direction, Father. Continue to give us and equip us with your word and your Holy Spirit. And I just ask, God, that you will help us be able to identify with the calling that you've placed on this city, God. I thank you that you're doing something special here in Cleveland, God, and I thank you that we've gotten to be a part of it. So use us, Jesus. Use us, God. If you're here today and, you know, you've maybe never really responded to the call of God wanting to take you on that journey, maybe you know that that's there and you know that the Lord's asking you to come out from and move to, but you've never really made that decision. I want to give you the opportunity today. And we have some people in the back, right, your right, by the double doors, and they want to pray with you. But if that's you, I just want you to slip your hand up. Maybe you haven't made that decision. Just, you know, everyone, no one's looking around. You slip your hand up if you say, you know what, I want to begin my journey with the Lord. I want to begin that. So, Father, we thank you so much for what you've done here today, God. I ask that you would continue your work here in Avon, God. We love you and we bless you. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you would need prayer for anything at all, we have our prayer partners back there. Awesome. You can go back there. Other than that, also, don't forget, please do not forget, tell Pastor Troy, Pastor Lewis, and Tina that you love them and appreciate them this week. It is Pastor's Appreciation Month, so you got all month to do it. Well, you got a couple more weeks, days, so yeah, so do that. All right, y'all. See you next week. Love you.